This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by CruiserMax Vibrance Beans Seed Treatment from Syngenta for growers interested in using a seed treatment with proven performance against early season insects and diseases. AgriTalk is sponsored by ESN Smart Nitrogen, the leading controlled release nitrogen in agriculture. It's the smart way to reduce nitrogen loss and increase yield. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com. Not much movement in the grain markets, and hogs even sat back a bit today. Cattle complex was higher, and the terrible flooding out in the Central Plains had something to do with that. I'm telling you guys, we have got a lot of ground to cover with the Pro Farmer guys today.
From Sparkle City Studios via Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we feature Pro Farmers, Captains of Cognition, Brian Grady and Jeff Wilson. Varsity Joe Vaklovic will check in with his take on the news, and we're waiting anxiously by the phone for your call. 855-482-5524. Call us up. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the unduct-taped host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory. Now, I'm going to let you out of there. Let you out of there.
Okay.
Can you stay cool?
I'm okay.
Okay. Hey.
That parts unknown thing, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
The closet labeled parts unknown.
Yeah,
that was clever,
taped.
Davis. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah, uh-huh. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there may be a little duct tape and baling twine and
your
future too there, pal. Maybe a zip tie or two.
Gotta catch me first, big fella.
Sneak up behind you sometime. I'll get you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Davis, for handling things tomorrow. You and Dwayne Bussey had a great conversation yesterday afternoon and covered a lot
like
of ground.
I feel like it, too. Yeah. In fact, we coined a new term. Since corn, beans, and wheat are so horribly, horrifically short right now, we're calling it a Daisy Duke setup.
That's right.
The Daisy Duke formation. And it turns out the actress who played Daisy Duke,
is
who I probably
South
should have
Dakota.
Looked up her real name, she's from South Dakota. Who knew?
Isn't it Kathleen?
Oh, that
something?
Sounds like Kathleen, Catherine.
Catherine.
I'm going to the Google machine right now.
Okay.
Right. What happened in the markets, though?
Well, corn was mixed. Soybeans slightly lower. Soybean meal was higher. Bean oil was lower. Wheat was mixed, live cattle higher. Feeder cattle saw solid gains today, and lean hogs sat back just a little bit, slight to moderate losses there. So, yeah, I'm glad you put the phone number out because the guys from Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady, Pro Farmer senior market analyst Jeff Wilson, they would love to talk to you today. Give them a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG, 855-482-5524. And, of course, if you would like, you could communicate with us on the Twitter machine.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do, just include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it.
For sure.
All right.
Catherine Bachman.
Yes.
She went under the name Catherine Bach.
Absolutely. You know, I got to tell you, the radio kind of cut out a little bit when you were talking about that yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
But the conversation that followed, it wasn't hard to figure out. what you were calling it. When Dwayne Bussey said something about getting out of the shorty shorts, I was just like, are you kidding me?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, for a guy like me, a pair of shorts like that builds up a lot of pressure in a hurry.
Well, move the markets. Jeez.
Winter wheat futures tried to trade to the upside in the overnight session, but barely held on to those gains into the close. Spring wheat futures closed higher for a fourth consecutive session, with traders pointing to snow-packed and soggy conditions across spring wheat country. Also, Kansas winter wheat conditions downticked slightly last week, but traders warn it is too early to be too concerned about winter wheat conditions or spring wheat planting delays. May hard red futures were 0.75 cents lower, 4.35¾. May soft red futures slipped 0.25 cents to 4.56½. May spring wheat gained 4.5 cents to 5.65¼, Chip.
Yeah, it's like Dwayne said yesterday, it is too early to get too concerned about it, but 2019 does feel different. It just feels different. Like we've got too many problems in too many areas for planning delays not to be a market mover at some point.
for sure. Well, yeah. Word came late in the grain session that U.S. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin and U.S. Trade Representative Lighthizer are headed to China next week. Some market watchers say this just means the two sides are continuing trade discussions, but others suggest this meeting means the two sides are very close to a final agreement. This should be viewed as a positive development for both corn and soybean trade this week.
Yep.
May corn futures were a quarter cent lower, 371 and a quarter. July corn steady, 380 and three quarters. December 19 corn closed at 395 and a quarter, up a half cent on the day, Chip.
Yeah, take it as good sign that we are very close to a final agreement. That's how I would view it. We'll talk to the guys. And plus, I'm going to ask, we're going to dig into some what-if scenarios with Brian and Jeff on this China-U.S. trade issue.
All right, well, I'm going to take the other side and say I'm sick of hearing of every time someone flies to China or someone flies here and nothing comes of it except China says, we're going to buy a whole bunch of ag stuff, so can we make a deal?
Hey,
I'm going the other way on that one.
Tough.
I've had it. I've had it. U.S.
That's
China
the news.
Trade.
That's what's going on.
All right, watch this. U.S.-China trade talk developments failed to provide the support needed to hold bean prices on the plus side of unchanged. Price pressure today was likely tied to field conditions across the country that traders say suggest a movement of acres from corn and spring wheat over to soybeans this spring. May bean futures were 1¾ cents lower, 904 even. July beans slipped 1¾ cents to 917 and a half. Novi 19 beans, 938 and a quarter today. That's down just 0.75 cents.
Yeah, even the guys in Iowa, where rotation is king,
right.
Talked to some of them yesterday, and there's a little bit of there is concern. Let's put it this way. They're happy that they've got flexibility going into the spring because they didn't get fertilizer and herbicide or fertilizer down this last fall.
Yeah, see that I like. Yeah. Floods and disrupted cattle marketings in the Central Plains provided support for the cattle complex. April live cattle were 80 cents higher, 129.12 and a half. June live cattle gained 15 cents to 122.72 and a half. April feeders jumped 60 cents to 142.25. Front month lean hog futures are back up to the highs posted last fall. April lean hogs 20 cents lower, 70.82 and a half. June hogs slipped 55 to 87.25. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's bring in Joe Vaklavic with Standard Grain. Joe, how you doing today, buddy?
Good. How you doing, Chip?
Doing all right. What do you think? I mean, these grain markets go nowhere. Go fast. Just blah.
It has been very slow. We had that reversal, what was that, two Fridays ago to the upside, and we haven't really negated it yet. You know, the corn market, the wheat market, the bean market, they've all kind of held at least a portion of those gains, and we haven't went back and tested those old lows. So, I mean, I guess from a technical standpoint, maybe I'm a little positive. The fact that the funds are just over their skis short the market here maybe adds to that a little bit. But we don't have to rally yet. I mean, weather's not – it's too early to get worked up about weather. We're still oversupplied across the board here. Demand for all three crops still very questionable.
Right. Okay. Cattle. No, not cattle. Let's go to hogs. Little bit of a setback today in the hog market, but I don't think we can call this hog market over, can we?
No, that's not much of a setback at all. And sure, did we have a reversal yesterday and again today? Yeah, we did, but I don't know. I mean, something obviously changed in the view of somebody here, you know, 5-6 days ago, whenever this rally started, and it has been very, very quick and very, very sharp. So, no, I don't think it's over. I think that this African swine fever, my fear is that we've just seen the tip of the iceberg. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, you know, I think there's an understanding or a belief. There is a belief that China needs a couple of years to get over this. Couple of years.
Yeah, it might be a couple of years, and I don't think anybody knows what the real numbers are either. What percentage of the hog herd has been lost? I mean, I don't know if anybody really knows.
Right, a couple of years I think is very conservative. This to me feels like I don't know. This feels like a decade long thing.
I don't know. Yeah. It could be.
Absolutely. All right, Joe. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Yep. See you, Chip.
That's Joe Vaklavic, Standard Grain. All right, coming up, we'll ask Brian and Jeff, what they think. The guys from Pro Farmer are on the show today. How long is China going to be dealing with African swine fever? And just how big of a marketing opportunity is it for U.S. producers? We'll find out next. Talking with Steve Gohm, product lead for soybean seed care at Syngenta. Steve, there's so many choices out there. What are the most important factors to consider when selecting a soybean seed treatment?
Yeah, we're really trying to get growers to look at seed treatments as different. They all look the same, but what's underneath them is very different. So, you know, we look at things like formulation. You can have poor formulation with poor coverage. You can have products that cause a lot more dust off. And certainly, you know, different technology, whether it's the mix of active ingredients. So there is a big difference in seed treatments, and we want growers to certainly ask questions of what's going on their seed.
Yeah, you got to know what's on your seed, right?
Absolutely. It's really important. It can be the difference between no yield or an extra three bushels.
Yeah, and that, it makes a big difference when we're dealing with the markets we're dealing with. And when making your soybean seed treatment choice this season, Syngenta recommends Cruiser Max Vibrance Beans seed treatment for the best coverage on your seeds. That was Steve Gomm, soybean seed care product lead at Syngenta.
I'm a hard-working nitrogen granule, just like anyone else. You know, I never used to take this nitrogen gig too seriously, but now I have a wife and kids to think about. I love those little granules. So now, I wear this protective ESN polymer coating. It protects me from nitrogen loss on the job site until crops need me, whether it's heavy rain, hot, dry wind, or even nasty bacteria in standing water. I'm not worried about it. Plus, I'm a very responsive guy. If the weather warms up, I'll be working hard to give those crops the nitrogen they need. Come and get it, fellas. And I'll stay on the job 50 up to 80 days if I have to, till my work is done. Isn't it time you picked a smarter, harder-working nitrogen for your farm? Like me. Come check me out at smartnitrogen.com.
Get control of tough weeds in your soybean fields with new Fierce MTZ herbicide from Valent USA. With three effective modes of action, Fierce MTZ gives you up to 8 weeks of residual control on tough weeds like Palmer amaranth, mare's tail, and annual grasses. Plus, the liquid formulation of Fierce MTZ makes for easy mixing and loading and consistent application. Learn more at valent.com/fiercemtz. Always read and follow label instructions. Fierce MTZ is pending state registration. Check registration status prior to use.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you were able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
When you think of Palmer amaranth, water hemp, ragweed, and mare's tail, doesn't it just make you want to give them the pounding they deserve? Now you can with Diflex Duo Herbicide. It's the post-emergence corn herbicide with two proven sites of action. So you get powerful control of the toughest weeds, built-in resistance management, and excellent crop safety. So don't just hit weeds. Pound them like never before with Diflex Duo. Learn more at DiflexDuo.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
spray for as low as $3 an acre with a new Apache sprayer, talk to your local Apache dealer or run the numbers at apachesprayers.com/return. Hey, Chip.
Yeah?
You get it? Short people? Because of the shorts?
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. The Daisy Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Status of the markets. I got it. Yeah. I got it. Short shorts.
Mm-hmm. It helps, shorty shorts. Doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It forms a mental picture.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to Hager Talk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. That's Davis Michelson.
Hello.
Corn was mixed, soybean slightly lower today. Soybean meal worked to the upside, bean oil was lower. Wheat was mixed, live cattle higher, feeder cattle saw solid gains, and lean hogs slightly to moderate losses in the lean hog market today. Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady is one of my guests today. How are you doing today, Beej?
I'm all right, Chip.
Good, good. Any opening comments? Just a feel for how these markets are trading right now?
I just the Chinese comments about being close on trade, I think they're numb to that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to talk about that a little bit more as we go on. Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson is also with us. Jeff, how are you doing today?
Very good. Sunshine's out, warming up. Yeah. Spring's coming. Yep.
Spring is coming. All right. All right. Yeah. As soon as I can get everything dug out that I've got stuck around the yard and up in the pasture and leading up to the barn, I'll confirm that spring has arrived. But until I get everything unstuck, it's going to feel an awful lot like winter to me. I'm telling you. So, all right, guys, let's get into it. I don't know if I want to start with ASF or trade issues or what, but you know what? Let's start with the tweet that we got from at RJFran23. It's Randy Francis. He says, personal opinion here. The hog market has me terrified, like $7 corn. Unlike 2014 when we had PED, there is no supply issue here. My fear is the high values maintained contract feeders will continue to grow at record levels. The fallout of this could be disastrous. This being stated, if the high prices would stay for 1 to 2 years, this would give China time to get their feet back underneath them. My fear is U.S. hog industry would rely too heavily on the Chinese demand at that point. A lot of thoughts going in here, but he's exactly right that if we are sitting here and we do not have a supply side issue, do we, Brian, we've got plenty of hogs. We're sending about 30% into the export market, maybe even a little bit better than that. And I mean, if this Chinese situation does get solved with ASF, we're going to have a lot of pork supply in the country for a while to come, right?
Yeah, definitely not a supply issue here. I would argue that in China, there will be, if there isn't already, a supply issue. You know, some of the estimates that we're hearing from industry sources, 30-40% reduction in their hog herd numbers. So yeah, we saw the numbers last week from the Chinese government. The breeding inventory was down like 19%, and the hog herd was down 16%, I think it was, almost 17%. So significant reductions, but the numbers the industry is telling us are even greater than what those numbers indicated. So they do have an issue. The problem here is that there's no vaccine, unlike what we had with PEDV, where that eventually came around. And so I don't see any way that there's a short-term fix to this issue. Now, with that said, if we continue to ramp up hog production here, we are relying heavily on Chinese demand. And, yes, we've seen what can happen there over the, you know, the past 6 months or 7 months with the trade war. So there are dangers. You know, it's kind of a slippery slope, I would say, in terms of what could happen moving forward. But his concerns, you know, and relating it back to $7 corn, I think are somewhat justified.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So what do you do with it, Jeff? What do you do with that kind of a concern in the market with the hog prices up here? Do you start locking in some downside risk and getting rid of some downside risk and, I don't know, putting some hedges on, buying puts, something like that?
Well, you don't sell futures.
Right.
Margin calls will be brutal.
Yeah, you might that could eat you up in a hurry.
Right. You know, maybe you talk about getting some cash contracts done with the local packer. The thing about it is, look, even from this point right here, we could be $30 higher or we could be $30 lower if, God forbid, this disease shows up in the U.S.
Yeah.
That's a scary scenario both ways, right? $30.
Yes, it is. Yep.
So, yeah, I guess unless you think our mechanisms and all our security systems are in place, that we learned our lesson with PDV and it's not going to be getting into this country. But even if it gets into a couple small herds, it still could potentially lock us out of the export market. So,
right.
Yeah, if you need to do something, then you buy some puts and you hope that they never go in the money and you just keep selling your hogs as fast as you can. I mean, the good news is the biggest hog producer in the world, Smithfield Foods, guess what? They're owned by a Chinese company.
Right. Right.
That's good.
Yep.
They're ready to go. They can do it.
Yeah.
We can load out as much as we need to.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's all very fascinating stuff. You know, the thing that I think we need to also put in perspective, Brian, is the time that they are going to be dealing with. Randy made the comment, you know, give them 1 to 2 years, get their feet underneath them. It's not 1 or 2 years is not enough time for China to recover from this, is it?
No, I don't think so. And we're talking about a vaccine and everything, and that's at least 10 years out from what we're hearing. So it's devastating. It isn't like they can build up immunity to it like we had with PEDV in some of those cases.
Wiesmeyer brought up something interesting this morning. What if this is a use for CRISPR? Turn off the vulnerability of those hogs to the virus somehow, some way, using genetic modification or CRISPR technology. But what it means is replacing all the hogs. All 500 million of them or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's like 700 million, I think, is the numbers. When you just step back and look at how devastating it could be, and let's keep in mind, China's reported like 114-115 cases. Vietnam's reported way more than that in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
China has no incentive to report because their producers don't get paid for their lost hogs. So until China changes that mechanism and encourages them to actually report it, it's the data out of there is fake news.
Right, right. So do you agree with what Jeff said? It Chinese buying could mean another $30 to the upside. Or if the disease would show up here, it could mean $30 down.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd necessarily say $30. I don't know if you can necessarily quantify it, but it's significant both to the upside and to the downside. I mean, China's going to need pork unless they change their diet completely. Now, we've heard some talk that is happening or trying to happen. They're trying to push through more chicken and other poultry. The Chinese diet is based on pork and vegetables and rice. I mean, that is a multi-generations change that would have to happen, it just isn't going to happen overnight.
There are some reports that the Chinese consumer is starting to get a little freaked out, right, Jeff? I think you saw it too, that the Chinese consumer is getting a little freaked out about eating this pork that more than likely is carrying the ASF virus.
Right, but it still depends on what your income is. I mean, you're still gonna obviously the people that have a job and can afford to, you know, you put a made in the USA mark on that package of pork, it's going to fly off the shelves. So I would think that they're gearing. I mean, we saw the first big shipment of shipment and big sale of pork to China just this last week. If we start seeing these happen every week, it's great news going forward.
Holy smokes, it really is. And I got to agree with you, Jeff. The way to approach this market is, you know, if you do feel like you absolutely positively have to get some downside protection in place and take some risk off in this market, you better be looking at the put options and just buy a put option, whether it's at the money or under the market, and be prepared, because the way things are moving in this market right now, your put options are probably going to go to zero, but you're going to get more for your hogs when you take them in. All right, we're talking with Brian Grady and with Jeff Wilson from Pro Farmer today. China's still on the topic list. We got to talk about this trade issue with them, and Lighthizer, Mnuchin, heading that direction next week.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Hey, Jim, it's Machinery Pete. I found you a great deal on a Kuhn Knight 1140.
Not interested.
Well, how about a nice Hool with a 9,500-gallon tank?
No.
All right, how about an old rusty John Deere 34 manure spreader?
No way.
Jim Wiesmeyer has no need for the honey wagon. He keeps the facts separate from the fertilizer on the DC Signal to Noise podcast. And if you're in the market for a wagon to handle the rest of what gets shoveled in Washington, be sure to check out MachineryPete.com.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Bott joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Jeff, I'm looking at the S&P 500 index today. As you know, the stock market has been rallying since spiking to a 20-month low last Christmas. The S&P 500 bottomed at 2346.58 on December 26th and reversed dramatically. It didn't suffer a significant setback until early this month when it fell back to the 2722 area. It has since surged again, topping its February high last week on its way to Friday's close at 2842.28. And it's continued rising this week, topping 2852 at one point this morning. One might be justified in hoping it will keep marching upward and challenge the record high at 2940.91 posted last September. But today's price action, which has seen it back away from the early high, suggests another short-term consolidation period may be looming.
Got it. A little bit of sideways trade wouldn't hurt us. Thanks, Dan. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Bott. Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to Pro Farmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation four-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. Pro Farmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. Pro Farmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the Pro Farmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Hey, Jim, it's Machinery Pete. I found you a great deal on a Kuhn Knight 1140.
Not interested.
Well, how about a nice Hool with a 9,500-gallon tank?
No.
All right, how about an old rusty John Deere 34 manure spreader?
No way.
Jim Wiesmeyer has no need for the honey wagon. He keeps the facts separate from the fertilizer on the DC Signal to Noise podcast. And if you're in the market for a wagon to handle the rest of what gets shoveled in Washington, be sure to check out MachineryPete.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory, got Davis Michelson with me. Hey, before we get back to the conversation with Brian and Jeff, let's go ahead and recap what happened in the markets today.
Well, Chip, May hard red winter wheat futures were 0.75 cents lower, 4.35¾. May soft red futures slipped 0.25 cents to 4.56½. May corn futures were 0.25 cents lower, 3.71¼. July corn steady, 3.80¾ today. May bean futures were 1¾ cents lower at 9.04 even. July beans slipped 1¾ cents to 9.17½. April live cattle, 80 cents higher, 129.12½. April feeders jumped 60 cents to 142.25. And April lean hogs were 20 cents lower at 70.82½. That's your quick market recap.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady, Pro Farmer senior market analyst Jeff Wilson are my guests today. Guys, just got tagged in this tweet from at AE Pork. He said he just left a Smithfield meeting, and they've got the same concern that when it does get worked out with China and ASF, everyone here will have expanded and the demand will start to dry up here. So it is something to keep in mind as you make your long-term plans here in the hog industry, no doubt about it. Okay, let's talk the trade issues, because last week we were told by one James Wiesmeyer that if Lighthizer was headed to China this week, that we should be optimistic that a trade deal was close to getting done. Well, it's not going to happen this week. It's going to happen next week. And the even better news, Jeff, is that he's taking Treasury Secretary Mnuchin with him next week. Are we getting close? Are we getting close to a final deal?
You got to believe so. And then you got the Chinese vice premier who's going to make a return trip to Washington the week after that.
Yes.
So something is getting close. You wouldn't be having these long-distance meetings with the top trade negotiators meeting face-to-face without something getting closer. And both sides, you know, pretty much want this deal to be done. They're both going to bitterly fight to the end to get the most they can from the other side. And what I find really interesting right now is that the commercials are currently hold the smallest hedge position, short hedge position in corn ever.
Yep.
And it recently flipped to a net long position in the soybean market. That's the first time since January of last year. Now, you know, is there some business that's kind of getting done on the side that, oh, if the deal is done, we'll buy, but we're not going to sign anything until the deal is done.
Right.
Just the way the market's set up right now, and then you got the funds with record short positions in the corn and one of the largest short positions in beans. Can't remember now.
But it's been a while. It's an interesting thought, Jeff. It's an interesting thought, and I think it's something that we need to consider. And Brian, you know, we keep talking about, hey, we need to get the technology transfer thing settled, the intellectual property rights, the enforcement. There needs to be strong enforcement on all of this. What if none of that happens and all they do is buy more U.S. product to narrow up the trade deficit?
Well, I think it would be, I don't know. The longer we go on this whole thing, I think the less market impact it has, to be honest with you. I think I said that the last time I was on here.
Yep.
And just the feeling is the markets are numb, like I said in the intro. But You know, with that said, I think the enforcement mechanism has to be in place. The property rights stuff has to be in place, or there isn't going to be a deal. Now, will they buy some product? Sure, they'll buy some product because they need, quite frankly, they need it.
Yeah.
You know, they got by with soybeans this year. One, because Brazil had a huge crop last year, and two, because of the African swine fever issue that reduced their meal demand. So that allowed them to buy some time. But with that said, over the course of time, those major issues are going to get resolved, or we're not going to have a significant trade deal, in my opinion.
Right. Okay. All right, very good. You see, I keep thinking back to the way that this whole thing started. And it was basically President Trump saying, they buy how much of our product and we buy how much from China? No, we need to get this fixed. So that's kind of what kicked the whole trade deal or trade war off. I wonder if he's going to circle all the way back to the beginning and say, listen, as long as we can get some assurances and some agreements in place that we're going to narrow up the trade deficit that the U.S. has with China, that, you know, maybe Trump would say that's enough. Let's go for it and move forward. Now, if that happens, I think most of his cabinet's going to walk out on him. And I know his trade team would probably walk out on him, wouldn't they?
Well, we've already seen a significant turnover in the cabinet anyway, so I'm not sure if that makes a whole lot of difference or not. It comes down to a pride factor and did he win or didn't he win?
Right.
And, you know, he's in this to win, and he's in every deal to win or be able to spin it that he won. So, if he can spin it that he won, your scenario might definitely play out. If he can't or doesn't feel like it's believable, then no, that won't happen, in my opinion.
And I think, Chip, anything in that scenario that falls short and does not include enforcement or accountability, you know, I'm a broken record on this. I think China's going to crow that as a victory for them.
Yeah.
And say, see, we faced down the West. We did it. We're still China.
Yep.
And nothing changes.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this all finishes up, but I gotta believe that with, like Jeff explained it, the long distance meetings that are going to be taking place over the next couple of weeks, that's an awfully strong indication to me that we are close to getting something wrapped up here, and we're going to have a Trump Xi meeting before too long, get this thing done. Jeff, acreage situation, everything that's going on out in the Central Plains, that's got to be playing into the decisions. The Northern Plains with, some of those guys, they wouldn't mind being out there and getting ready to get some hard red spring wheat seeded here before too long, but that kind of stuff just is not going to happen. Are we narrowing the spread between corn and soybean acres for 2019?
That's a great question. You would think we were, but, you know, if push comes to shove and everything straightens out and it's, you know, April 20th and everything looks good, I mean, it doesn't take that long to, you know, to drain off fields. I mean, obviously in the worst flooding areas, it's a different story.
Right.
But if it really has to go to like May 10, that's a long time away. Mm-hmm. And with the technology we have right now, we can get this crop planted and 5 to 6 days over a majority of acres. So it's too early to worry about that. I really think people are kind of ignoring this quarterly grain stocks report. I mean, the acreage is a potential starting point for what we're going to do this year. And we got 6 to 8 weeks to decide how that number may change. You know, farmers will give you their estimates in early March, but everything can change by middle of May. But the stocks report, everyone's kind of saying, well, we're not doing anything. But if you look back, you know, USDA takes their final test plot harvest in the October crop report. Did they really catch all the yield losses that we had in corn and soybeans?
Right.
I don't know. We had a lot of crops still out there in September.
Sure did.
And the December 1 stocks report did not show that. But let's just say, you know, these stocks reports have a history of being a big surprise. And if we get smaller numbers, and I'm not saying they're going to, I'm just saying that is a risk when we get out to the March 29th quarterly grain stocks report.
Gotcha. It's definitely something worth watching, no doubt. Brian, the floods out in the Central Plains, impact on the feeder cattle market, impact on the cattle market. What do you think that will be going forward?
Well, I think it's support price supportive. So for those that are out there that are fat cattle producers, I think it puts a floor underneath the marketplace. For those that are feeder cattle sellers, you're going to see your prices rise, I believe. Those that are feeder cattle buyers, unfortunately, you're probably going to face some higher prices. And we've already seen that play out, but I think it will continue. We'll have to wait and see what the actual numbers of losses are. But some of the numbers out right now are pretty significant, and obviously the images are devastating from the flooding and blizzard conditions that happened through the Dakotas and Nebraska and even some into Kansas.
Right. Yeah. No doubt about it. And it's not just it's not just the death losses. It's just the simple. Trying to move things around, right, Brian? And that applies to cattle, that applies to hogs, and that applies to grain.
Yeah,
just trying to move stuff around.
Yeah, the transportation logistics. There's going to be definite swings in basis, no doubt about that. Some of it is completely shut off right now, and we're not just talking roadways; we're talking rails as well. That's going to disrupt movement not only throughout the region, but also, to the PNW to get grain out through the PNW and those types of things. So this is an issue that's going to linger. You have a situation where, the acreage is probably the last thing on producers' mind at this point in time, but that will come into play, especially in those areas that were the hardest hit.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be something that is going to impact those guys out there for quite some time, and the impact on the feeder cattle supply. I think you heard what Sonny Perdue said this morning about there may have been 1 million calves lost out in the Central Plains. That seems heavy, doesn't it, Beej?
I didn't hear his direct quote, but I thought it was tied to Nebraska, and that would be way overstated at that point out there. Devastating these people, but overstated.
Guys, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. We'll talk with you again soon.
You bet.
It's Pro Farmer Editor Brian Grady, Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hey, Jim, it's Machinery Pete. I found you a great deal on a Kuhn Knight 1140.
Not interested.
Well, how about a nice Hool with a 9,500-gallon tank?
No.
All right, how about an old rusty John Deere 34 manure spreader?
No way.
Jim Wiesmeyer has no need for the honey wagon. He keeps the facts separate from the fertilizer on the DC Signal to Noise podcast. And if you're in the market for a wagon to handle the rest of what gets shoveled in Washington, be sure to check out MachineryPete.com.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
AgriTalk is supported by the all-new Mahindra Roxor Off-Road 4x4 UTV. It's truly built to work. There is no plastic here. It's got a heavy-duty steel frame and body, a Mahindra 2.5 liter turbo diesel engine, and it will tow up to 3,490 pounds of whatever you hitch it to. Hauling, ranching, you name it. Roxor does not know the meaning of quit. To prove it, the folks at Mahindra have authorized their Roxor dealers to offer some early spring promotions that will save you a ton of money on selected 2018 models. Just head to your local dealer and tell them Chip sent you. You can find your dealer at RoxorOffroad.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
Hey, Jim, it's Machinery Pete. I found you a great deal on a Kuhn Knight 1140.
Not interested.
Well, how about a nice Hool with a 9,500-gallon tank?
No.
All right, how about an old rusty John Deere 34 manure spreader?
No way.
Jim Wiesmeyer has no need for the honey wagon. He keeps the facts separate from the fertilizer on the DC Signal to Noise podcast. And if you're in the market for a wagon to handle the rest of what gets shoveled in Washington, be sure to check out MachineryPete.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. That is Davis Michelson.
Yes, it is.
Hey, we got a couple of callers on the line. We're going to get right to them here in just a second.
Yeah,
the
phone's lit up.
The 6 to 10 day and the 8 to 14 day that get you out to April 2nd. Mm-hmm. Both call for normal to above normal temperatures over most of the Corn Belt. The Dakotas are the exception, where there are some below normal temperatures expected in the western halves of the Dakotas. But along with the normal to above normal temperatures, we've got above normal precipitation expected across the entire Corn Belt through time period.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Steve, Southwest Iowa. Steve's on the line. How you doing, Steve? Good to talk with you.
Sir, I was just calling. You were talking about the government supply and demand reports and crop production reports and everything else. And back in a previous life, I worked for a crop insurance company in Council Bluffs that actually developed revenue insurance. But at the time, we kept wondering why 85% of the corn farmers in the U.S. have crop insurance, which means that 85% of the crop acres get an actual yield reported on them. And so the other 15% could be factored in, but yet the USDA never talks to each division to use those numbers to help determine what actual yields really are.
Yeah.
And I've often wondered why we worry about all these fabricated numbers when we've actually got hard numbers to use.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. And it is interesting that we see NASS taking a look at the certified acreage data from FSA.
Yeah,
but again, so it's good that they look at the acreage data, but why not take in some of the yield data too, Steve? I agree with you.
I mean, that's, to me, it's like, you know, if we've got 85% actual yield data, and working on the crop insurance side, and I'm a farmer now, nobody really lies about their APH enough because the consequences are, I mean, nothing's perfect, but nobody cheats on their APH very much. The numbers are so small, it's insignificant. And so we'd have 85% accurate so we could project the other 15% real close, because it's not one portion of the country that doesn't report. It's just scattered farmers all over that don't have insurance.
Yep.
But it's to me it makes no sense, but then that sometimes making sense and the government don't work real well. And then one thing I did want to say, Hamburg, Iowa, back in 2011, the people built their own dike. The government kicked the Corps of Engineers made them tear it down. And now they're flooded again because the dike they built would have kept the floodwater out of town.
They are completely covered up down there. It is so stupid, Steve.
Yep.
It's beyond stupid. It shows bureaucracy at its finest in our government is what it amounts to.
Yep.
Well, I got to get back to scooping mud. I got a little flood damage myself. So
all right.
Have a fun time, you guys.
You bet. Stay dry,
luck,
Steve. Thanks.
Yep.
Thanks. Yeah, good points there all the way around, including the dike down there at Hamburg.
Yeah.
Dean, up in Minnesota. Dean, how are you, buddy? It's good to talk with you again.
I'm doing great. We got sunshine here and a little flooding going on around here, but not compared to what's going out there. You know, 2 years ago, you know, this cattle thing, you know, they just can't, these cattle feeders are down that area just can't get a break either.
No.
2 years ago, they just finally got back from the wildfires. Now we got a flood that we lost all out again. So about time we get ahead of the game with the cattle, getting them back in feedlots and stuff. Now we lose them all again. So,
Well, go back 3 years. Dean, go back 3 years ago to the blizzard up in South Dakota.
Yeah, well, that just did. I mean, they had the blizzard between starting that blizzard and all the wildfires, and then we get a flood. I mean, you know, these cattle guys just can't catch a break on some of these. I mean, the ranchers and now, you know, they just catch 21.
Yeah, absolutely. You are exactly right, Dean. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you later.
You bet. Thanks, Chip.
All right, that's Dean up in Minnesota. So, hey, this is all been kind of a fascinating setup for the show, Davis.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fascinating conversation. RJ Fran 23 really helped with his question.
Yes.
On Twitter, maybe we need to stop and think long term on this. How aggressive do you want to build up?
Mm-hmm.
And really, how aggressively do you want to build up pork production in anticipation of Chinese demand that A, isn't here yet, B, we wouldn't know how long it's going to be, and it's all pretty dicey stuff. Hey,
well,
tomorrow on the show?
Yeah.
Is it tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon? I don't know for sure on this one, but tomorrow morning on the show, we are going to be talking with with Nebraska Farm Bureau President Steve Nelson. He's gonna clue us all in on if there are things that you want to do to help the people in Nebraska. He'll clue us in on A, how to make that happen, B, what they might need, who you need to contact, so on and so forth. So we're gonna be talking with Steve Nelson, the Nebraska Farm Bureau President, tomorrow. It's an important
conversation. Yeah, we'll look forward to that.
This is crazy. It just is absolutely crazy. And the only reason that we're saying the Secretary of Purdue may have overshot when he said that there could be a million calves lost to the flood, the Nebraska cow numbers, cows and heifers that have calved, so your first calf heifers, that's right at 2 million, so that would suggest that we lost half of the calves if they were all had calves on the ground right now. It just feels a bit overshot. It's a terrible situation, but we can't make it worse with statements that blow the situation out of proportion.
With hyperbole.
Can't be doing that either. Yep. Yes. All right, let's do it. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Wintummer. If you're one of those people who struggle in transition, welcome to Wintummer. And now today's tweets at Goddess of Grain. So Carl wants to go to a hay sale this weekend. That's also a livestock auction. Taking bets now on what type of animals we come home with. You know, nothing says happy wintummer like a shiny new trip of goats. At Farmer Meg, so much mud. And like usual, I managed to get myself covered in gear oil. Even got it in my boot. And one more, Samuel B. Hudson. What, spring? You mean wintummer. That's a new one by me.
Yeah. First day of spring tomorrow.
You betcha.
Happy spring, everybody.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! All right, thanks for listening today. Thanks to Brian and to Jeff. Tomorrow morning, we've got a Farmer Forum. Tomorrow afternoon, Darren Fessler.
Hey, Bill, any advice to control tough weeds and rootworms?
That's easy, Jim. Buy two, save three.
Wait, for weeds and rootworms?
Buy two, save three. Combine your Impact or new Impact Z herbicide purchase with a qualifying insecticide and save $3 per acre.
Buy two, save three. That is good advice.
For details, go to buy2save3.com. Impact, Impact Z, and Buy 2 Save 3 are trademarks owned by Amvac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hey, Jim, it's Machinery Pete. I found you a great deal on a Kuhn Knight 1140.
Not interested.
Well, how about a nice Hool with a 9,500-gallon tank?
No.
All right, how about an old rusty John Deere 34 manure spreader?
No way.
Jim Wiesmeyer has no need for the honey wagon. He keeps the facts separate from the fertilizer on the DC Signal to Noise podcast. And if you're in the market for a wagon to handle the rest of what gets shoveled in Washington, be sure to check out MachineryPete.com.
Thanks to Cruiser Max Vibrance Beans Seed Treatment for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer or Syngenta representative about investing in a turbocharged seed treatment that delivers industry-leading ROI. AgriTalk is brought to you by ESN Smart Nitrogen. ESN is the smartest way to reduce nitrogen losses to wet soils, hot, dry conditions, or microbial attacks in standing water. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.